Your life, your...
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
All right, let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. Thanks for joining me. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. I can't get everybody, but I'll do my best. If you're there, we'll see what we can do. And we'll pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy this afternoon. Hey, I do want to ask you for prayer right at the top of the show for two intentions. One is for Joel Brand. You know the name? From Sweetamine. He's the inventor of that product. And I know many of you love it, and I want to thank him for his sponsorship here. My producer, Tom, earlier today said, hey, can you put him on the Chaplet? I said, what's going on? It's not him. It's his wife. There's a procedure that she's undergoing right now. I won't give away any of the details, but a very important and very critical situation that his wife is now facing. And as a husband, I can only imagine what he's going through. So please pray for Joel as well. And Jake, you know, you and I were talking right before we came in here. One of our other colleagues, right? One of our other great contributors, Peter Grandage, who joins us twice a month. What's up with him? Will you share with everyone what's happening?
Yeah, you know, it's just so heartbreaking to hear about this because Peter was on when Ed Morrissey was filling in this past Friday. He told us just about a half hour before his appearance that he threw his back out. And Peter, being the amazing person he is, still agreed to do the interview. But the poor guy was just, you know, having a tough time. And then we got word over the weekend that he is in the hospital, I believe, for some medical complications. So I won't go into any specifics or anything like that. But we do need to pray for him and pray for his healing there.
I want to pray for the soul of the Texas Roadhouse CEO who took his own life after he was diagnosed with COVID-19-related symptoms. His name was Kent Taylor and allegedly died from suicide. Tragic. He was only 65 years old. And I want to pray for all parents who've lost children through suicide, spouses. I want to pray for anyone who's lost a loved one through suicide. It's just so hard. I mean, my heart goes out to you. I'm just going to ask God to be merciful in those souls and in particular in those who mourn. But we'll pray for this man in particular. Also, another person wrote to me, Drew, could you ask our listeners to pray for a beautiful Catholic family that's being evicted from their home? They've been renting for a very long time. The owner needs the money. And this person says, I am begging through the intercession of St. Joseph that they find a way to buy it and remain in our school and our community. So prayers on the way for those really struggling financially right now who are having very difficult times. So I'm going to pray for those who need to discern as well. It's always an important intention. Chris Flood joins me today. Chris, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Anything you want to lift up and pray for?
I spoke to a listener and donor this afternoon by the name of David, and he asked that we pray for him, a special intention for him. And I would like to pray personally for my sister, Annette, who has some serious health issues, but now is also dealing with identity theft.
All right.
Very serious identity theft.
Wow, that's a problem. That'll take a while, too, to remedy. So the final intention I'll throw out, and then we'll start our prayer. My wife's cousin, her name's Beth, only 50 years old, is in her final stages. And we've been praying for about a week. Doctors thought she had about 3 days to live, 72 hours, but she's survived about a week now. So I want to thank God for that. I never shortchange God. I mean, if he wants to give her more life or heal her, he could certainly do that. But if he's going to call her home, my wife's going to be on her way to be with her. So I want to pray for safe travel and, of course, for all those who are approaching eternity. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call this afternoon from Kathy, listening in Evergreen Park, Illinois. Hi, Kathy. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I'm wanting a prayer for me for tomorrow. I have a test, and I won't find out till Thursday the results. They think I have congestive heart failure or a large heart. When I was walking, I can't even make it around the block, and my dad died at 50 from a heart attack, and my mother died at 52 from congestive heart failure. So I'm worried, and I have a family, so I'm praying for my family and myself and for everybody else that is having, like, surgery or just lost. I just want everybody to feel your presence. You, Drew, you don't know how much your show means to me.
Oh,
I mean, Thursday you said don't let Jesus do the worrying, and I have, and it's made me feel so much better. Yeah. So, Drew, I want a prayer for you, too.
Thank you. Well, look, I'll tell you what, Kathy, I'm going to be praying for you, okay? You've got your test tomorrow. I also want you to be at peace. I mean, technology and procedures today have come so far. If the Lord wants to use, you know, medicine and science to bring about your healing, let's thank him for that. But I understand your medical history, your family's history. Let's put you in the hands of the divine physician right now. You're going to be prayed not just by me, but by everyone in our spiritual family here. And tomorrow when I'm at Mass and I'm spending time with the Lord as well, I'll be praying for you, okay? So be at peace right now. Put your trust in God. The more a soul trusts, the more it will receive. I love that quote in the diary where Faustina talks about the Lord telling her, fear nothing. Okay, Kathy, fear nothing. All your adversities, the Lord said, will harm you only to the degree that the Lord permits them to. So you're in his hand. You know, the most beautiful creed Padre Pio said is the one we pronounce in these moments of darkness. So show the Lord. Show the Lord that you trust him, that you love him, and he will not let you down. All right? I know that. I believe that. And I'm praying for you now. Lord, I give you Kathy. I just pray for her healing. I pray for good news and good results so that when she calls back, she's like, you can't believe it. The doctor says, no, it's this, not that. So, Lord, I don't know how you're going to remedy it, but I trust in you, and I give you Kathy. And I know, united with so many who are praying right now, we just lift her up. I know how concerning it can be knowing you have a family that depends on you. So hear these prayers for all those who are sick, all those waiting test results, all those facing surgery, all those in recovery. Oh, divine physician, we ask for your mercy that you heal them. And eternal Father, we turn to you now as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Dean in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew.
Right.
I would like prayers for my twin brother David. That God will heal him completely from the paralysis in his legs that has him wheelchair-bound and that is now affecting the circulation. He is scheduled for surgery tomorrow, but we're praying for his total healing and restoration of health, and we're also asking for his conversion.
All right.
Right. He's a Marine Corps veteran from Vietnam who got dumped with Agent Orange and is now paying the consequences of all of that devastation.
So
we pray urgently for his healing. We want total radical healing and conversion.
Well, let's pray for him, Dean. I want to pray for you. He's your twin brother, right? So let's lift him up.
And
you know what? Today, again, here's a second intention for healing. And Lord, I believe in miracles as well. I was thinking about St. Peregrine, who had to have his leg amputated. He spent the night before the Lord in this beautiful image, and he was miraculously cured of the ailment that was supposed to take his leg. So I call upon St. Peregrine, patron saint of cancer. I pray for those who are the victims of PTSD or any Agent Orange or any chemical attack or any sickness that's affecting the body. It could be pesticides. It could be Lyme's disease. Whatever affects the body, Lord, I give it to you now, and I pray for complete and total healing. I pray for conversion, but I do pray for those who will be facing surgery that, again, they recover from this completely. And if it be your will, we pray for miracles. I love when they're reported. So we turn to you again with confidence as we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, hang in there, okay, Dean? Let's go to Emmy Lou, listening in Plainfield, Illinois. Hi, Emmy Lou.
Hi, Drew. I have a couple serious requests. Number one is Elisa, a close friend of a friend, a young mom, 9-year-old, 2-year-old. She has long-time kidney disease. 2 weeks ago, got a transplant from her husband, and that had complications. They had to open up the wound, and it's open as we speak almost. And today, she's having a biopsy to find out if this kidney is rejected. So big prayers for Elise that this doesn't happen. Secondly, my good friend Eloise, who you may remember 2 years ago on her birthday, she lost her right leg below the knee to circulatory problems. Her birthday again is coming up, and it looks like she's going to find out a week from today if the other leg has to go.
Oh, no.
And
wow,
tough. It's tough because she was just getting used to her prosthetic and prosthesis.
Wow.
And my third request is for a good friend's brother, Bob, a senior who is a longtime alcoholic, and it looks like he's on a path to destruction. And realize that it's all in God's hands, but I wanted to get these in.
Well, thank you. Thanks for calling. And we're glad to pray for you, Emily. I'll pray for you too, okay? And, I was just struck by those big intentions. I mean, addiction seems insurmountable for God, doesn't it? I mean, those who are in those chains of addiction, it seems nothing is going to free them. You know, those who have these kidney transplants that are rejected or possible amputations, they just, look at the science, the numbers, it's just, they seem impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. And let's pray with that type of faith. My father was liberated from his addiction. I've seen, had reports of people with legs regenerating, kidney transplants not being needed. Jesus told St. Faustina, people don't know the scope of his mercy. They just don't know it. They don't accept it. Therefore, they just don't pray for big enough things. It's one of my favorite quotes. Let's pray big. Let's pray big right now for these intentions. For those that you have in your heart, I know all of us have particular intentions that we need miracles for. So, Heavenly Father, I intercede for my brothers and sisters here. And I ask by virtue of the passion and death of your Son, Jesus, that you hear our prayers, and in your mercy you are moved. You allow miracles to unfold as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Mark's listening in Minneapolis. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I talked to you last April, and my sister, who's been battling brain cancer for 20 years, she's 51,
wow.
My sister Jana, and we got that miracle last April. She had two back-to-back surgeries, and I know that these prayers are what got her through. I got that miracle, and I know and the cancer's back now,
okay.
And it's glioblastoma. It's a grade 4. So I guess I'm crying out for another miracle, waiting for another miracle for her again, a second touch of healing.
Amen.
So that's what I'm crying out for.
Let's pray for her right now. We'll pray for this. Stage 4, wow. I know how serious it is when it comes to brains and tumors and glioblastomas. Lord, you're bigger than cancer, Father. You know, and I ask right now that you go and you heal, you shrink this tumor, or you eradicate it altogether. And I ask that. I ask for all those who are battling cancer, Lord. I pray for all those who are facing impossible situations where the medical report does not look good, where the finances seem impossible, where the legal problem is intractable, where the relationship looks like it's over. I ask you, go into those areas, and by virtue of this powerful prayer and the promise that you've given to St. Faustina for all of us, to allow just torrents of grace to flow. Allow your mercy be glorified through these miracles as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Joan is listening in Naperville, Illinois. A lot of Illinois calls today. Hi, Joan. Good afternoon.
Hi. I need prayers for 6-year-old Blake, who is battling leukemia. He just had his third bone marrow transplant on March 9th, and he has there's complications now, and he is his heart and lungs are failing, and he's on a ventilator and in ICU.
Oh, no. All right, well, Joan, thank you. Today is a day where we have every intention dealing with medical problems. So, Lord, when that current takes place, I know that you're at work, and I thank you for that. I pray now for all of these intentions that were brought forward, especially this little 6-year-old child. For his parents in particular, for all those on hold, all those who have written to me, all those united in prayer with us right now, all those who are most in need of your mercy. And I just intercede on behalf of all of them. Hear these humble prayers. And in your mercy, Lord, allow many, many answers to take place. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God. Holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love. And mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
All you holy innocent,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Send me your answer prayers too, please. As God works those miracles in your life, drew@relevantradio.com, drew@relevantradio.com. And just say, Drew, answered prayer. Put it in the byline and tell me how God works, because we get them every day, and I'm so happy. Send me your intentions, too, because I do want to read them, and I do want to pray for them, okay? And I promise you that much. We'll do that for you. Hey, when we return, stay with me. There is a bishop that has just launched an international crusade in reparation of so many of these Eucharistic abuses. This is huge. I'll talk about that and more. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime. On Twitter, @DrewMarianiShow.
Do you like to hear bells at Mass? Hi, this is Father Rocky with our 29th lesson on the Mass. I love bells, don't you? Bells are permitted at Mass, but they're not mandatory. Still, I think they add something beautiful to the experience. When I was chaplain at Northridge Prep School for Boys, the 6th and 7th graders always wanted to serve and always wanted something active to do, like ringing the bells. If it were up to them, they'd ring the bells all Mass long. But no, only 3 times. Once at the epiclesis, when the priest puts his hands over the gifts and invokes the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Again, for the 2nd time, when the priest elevates and shows the host to the people. And 3rd time is when the priest elevates the chalice and shows the blood of Christ to the people. The bells at Mass tell us that a miracle has just happened, the transubstantiation. You have been joining me for Lenten Lessons on the Mass. Now I'd like to invite you to join me for Mass itself at noon Central.
And join us for Class After Mass. It's the Faith Explained on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This to me is a deeply disturbing statistic, and it should be a wake-up call to all of us. And don't listen to people who want to drive a wedge between our pastoral, you know, friendliness to people and catechesis. That's led us nowhere.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Relevant Radio.
And of course, His Excellency Bishop Robert Barron. I'm going to be joined by a Father Barron coming up. Just draw no relation. We'll just draw the distinction there. Both brilliant men and very holy guys. I know Father Mark Barron for years. In fact, I was on a pilgrimage with Father Barron, and we went to Italy. And while we were in Italy, he was hunting down Eucharistic miracles. You know, I actually went with him to a church or two to Eucharistic miracles I didn't even know existed. He apparently had a book or was on the hunt for these, which I thought was pretty cool. And you know, I was really impressed by him. Just as a side note here, he's a priest who, regardless of how tired you are, if you ever travel abroad, you know, if you go to Europe and head in that direction or any great distance, you know what jet lag's, right? It's just brutal. It's hard to keep your eyes up. You're begging for sleep. I mean, sleep deprivation's a torture. Father Barron would make sure he did his Eucharistic adoration every night, no matter how tired he was. He'd either go to his room, or there were times where he had it for all of us. We could come down there, and I remember just trying to hold my eyes up. I couldn't pray. I was so tired. You know, it hurt. But I loved his love of the Eucharist. I just thought it was pretty profound. And he's going to be joining me in a moment because there's a campaign underway to make reparation for so many offenses against the Eucharist. And you're more than welcome to join me here if you want to get in on the conversation, if you've experienced it, if you've seen it. The number here anytime is 888-914-9149. Before I tell you what's happening, because there was a bishop that called for processions of reparation, prayers of reparation, a whole litany of things to do. I just want to remind you, my book, Divine Mercy, is out. And I, you know, if you would ask me a year and a half ago, you ever think of writing a book of Divine Mercy? I'd say no. I've given talks, I've given speeches, I have, I do it every day on the radio here. There's just so much content, right? But I think the Holy Spirit was at work. And as you know, I put the book out. And I just want to thank everyone who's responded. It's been overwhelming. The response to the book has been overwhelming, and it's free. I am giving this book away totally free. And really, I want to thank Relevant Radio for their generosity in doing that. We're going to print it, and we're going to actually ship it to you. It'll come right to your door, and it's super simple. One of my colleagues says, I signed up for your book. You know, and it took her like 15 seconds. She just went to the website. She went to relevantradio.com and put in her name and an email or whatever it was that she had to do there, and boom. She said it was simple. It didn't take more than 15 seconds. And if you love Divine Mercy, if you love that chaplet we just prayed, if you want to learn more about St. Faustina or her spiritual director, if you want to see how God's mercy is for everyone, how it touches everyone from sinners to saints, and what it does when mercy is given. What is mercy, right? Why is it so needed today? I look at that. If you want, you know, we talked about Father Shire and his experience with the afterlife. Faustina glimpsed heaven and hell and purgatory. I write about that. I write about the sacraments of reconciliation and the Eucharist. Father Seraphim Michalanka, who is the vice postulator for her calls, he always told me, he says, you know, Drew, the divine mercy really is a preparation for the return of the Lord. I wrote about the second coming, what the Lord revealed to Faustina about that. There's so much in this book, everything from the chapel to the image to the hour power to the Feast of Mercy and more, and it's completely free. It's a great introduction. It's easy to read. You can do it a chapter at a time. You can do it out of order. It's deliberately did it in that way, or it's something great you can give to someone else. Don't email me because I can't respond to the email. I won't be able to fulfill it. And don't call the desk or the studio. I would recommend you just go to relevantradio.com and sign up there or use the mobile app, okay? Quantities are limited. That's what I'm hearing. There, you know, we may not do another run, so this might be the only one that you get. So if you miss this round, let's pray that we do another one, but you know, it might be one and done. So get in now, okay? I'm not going to talk about it much next week if I do at all. It's going to be Holy Week. I want to focus on that. So this is the week I really want to put it on your radar, and I hope you'll take advantage of it. And Jake, what'd you say? Can you open your mic?
Yeah, just inviting listeners, if they have a hard time finding the link, it is on our Twitter page. It's like pinned at the top of the page. Super. And people can access it there.
That's why I got great, you know, every great show host got great producer. Thanks, Jake. Good job. Let's talk about the Eucharist for a moment, too. And St. Faustina spoke about this, I mean, at great length. She's talked about the Lord's true presence. She saw the rays radiating from him. She had all these Eucharistic experiences. But, I've been covering for you, you know, the church vandalisms that we've been seeing and some of these Eucharistic sacrileges that have been reported back in September. I don't know if you remember hearing about the tabernacle that was stolen out of the Cathedral of St. Catherine of Alexandria in St. Catharines, Ontario. If you're not familiar, the thieves broke into this cathedral at night, and they took the tabernacle along with the Lord, along with its sacred contents. And they thought maybe, hey, man, this must be gold. There's got to be something valuable to sell here. What happened, though, is they ended up taking the tabernacle and throwing it into a canal. They found that there later was stripped of its gold plating, though one of the doors was returned. The Eucharist, though, was stored in it, and that was nowhere to be found. So no news stories mention this. I just hope that the host didn't end up with Satanists to desecrate. We've talked about that when, you know, in our country here, black masses were being held. They wanted to be held at Harvard. They were held in Oklahoma and a lot of these different places. And Satanists don't want a wafer. They want Jesus truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. That's what they want. They go into Catholic churches and they steal these things. You know, something similar happened in a parish in Los Angeles, too, back in 94. But those are obviously major sacrileges against the Eucharist, against our Lord's true presence. But you might also remember, it was Oklahoma. It was also Boston a few years ago. You know, those sacrileges took place with the Eucharist. And I think a bishop went in and did an exorcism when this was over. But people made reparation after those black masses. I think people understood what was going on there. So there was some reparation. They had all night vigils. Masses of reparation were done. People fasted. They prayed intensely. But there are less dramatic abuses against the Eucharist taking place. Not every one of these is a Satanist that takes these things. There are places where people who have divorced and attempted to remarry outside of the church without receiving, let's say, a declaration from the church that their first marriage was invalid, have been allowed to receive the Eucharist. There are people who are in states of sin, knowing that and being habitual in that behavior, go up and receive the Eucharist anyway. There are places where Catholics who aren't, you know, where churches, you know, let me rephrase it. There are places, you know, where you go to a wedding and a Protestant is married to a Catholic. They're allowed to receive the Eucharist on the pretext that it's pastoral, right? To allow the person who doesn't believe in the Eucharist to receive it. That's not accurate. You have to be in communion. You have to believe what the church teaches. You have to receive that sacrament in order to be able to receive it. But there are other ways that the Eucharist is abused too. And I just thought, look, I want to talk about this. I want to put it on your radar. And if you can, during Lent, a time of great penance and fasting and almsgiving, a time of reparation, maybe you can offer it up for some of these abuses. And I'm joined today by Father Mark Barron, parochial vicar of Our Lady of Peace Parish in Darien, Illinois. As I said, a longtime friend and a priest who I know loves the Eucharist deeply, and it's good to have him here. Father, welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, great to be back on the show, Durham. You're obviously speaking about one of my favorite topics, so I'm glad to be on.
Yeah, you know, it's one of mine too. And I, like I said, your actions, not necessarily your words, because you know you walk the walk. I saw you with your love of the Eucharist, not just you know the way you celebrate Mass or the adoration you had privately, or the time you spent with the Lord. It speaks volumes about our Lord's true presence. You know, there are polls that have shown for years, Father, that even practicing Catholics don't really know what the Eucharist is. They don't understand that. And we know that 60-73%, whatever the number was, don't believe in the true presence. What kind of problems does this lack of knowledge or this rejection of the true presence actually create?
Oh, gosh. Big question. I mean, it's kind of scary because when we think about what the Eucharist is and its reality, you know, us, you know, Catholics who believe and Catholics who believe in an active way, understand that it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, and we know Jesus is God. And so when you get this rejection of the Eucharist, you know, you have the hatred of the Eucharist by the done by those people performing those acts that you mentioned, the sacrileges and stuff like that. And then the other part of that is the indifference. And that's where it really gets scary, is just the indifference of people towards the Eucharist and the reality of who's there. You know, the indifference towards the person who's there in the Eucharist. And that's where it really gets scary, because this rejection, this indifference to God, who has made himself so available to us and so present to us, is kind of scary, because it's almost like a rejection of God, of what God has revealed, and kind of like a sign of a lack of faith, obviously. And then when you have that diminishment of faith, that's when you kind of the force field, the spiritual force field over, you know, our you know, cities, our states, our country, our world, you know, from the snares of the devil, becomes lowered and weakened. And then that's when you kind of get all sorts of other sinful behavior. You know, sin increases in that way. So it's kind of scary, because you hear that in our world, that we're kind of in a post-Christian age, and how this is kind of like a second rejection of Christ. He was rejected by the Jewish leaders and by many of the Jewish people when he first walked the earth, and now it seems like there's a more fuller scale rejection of him directly and indirectly through indifference now, which obviously again brings about a lowering of faith and opens ourselves up to all sorts of other societal disorders and problems.
Let's talk about some of the other type of offenses. You know, I mentioned black masses. They're, I'm hoping, pretty rare, you know, and these sacrileges. What are some of the other type of outrages or offenses that the Eucharist has to endure? I mean, what are the ways that the Eucharist is mistreated? You know, smaller scale, larger scale, what do you see? What concerns you?
Yeah, I think we'll start, let's see here, from the basics. Having to remind people when they go into the church to genuflect, that the church isn't a cafeteria, that the church is separate from the outside world. And because of Jesus' presence in the Eucharist, demands a kind of a silence, because the Lord wants to commune with us. And just out of respect and reverence in that way, having that or observing that silence. And then you go up to receiving communion. So receiving communion, obviously, people receiving in a state of mortal sin. Many people don't even know that receiving, well, number one, a lot of people don't even pay attention to the reality of mortal sin. Even if they're aware of it, they oftentimes don't realize the connection between mortal sin and receiving in a state of mortal sin, receiving the Eucharist. And then also, just you have, and St. Faustina wrote about this, or Jesus spoke about this to St. Faustina. He spoke on one level how much he desires to come to every soul in Holy Communion. But then he also spoke about how painful it is to go into a soul that receives him like in an indifferent state, like with a sense of lukewarmness, like a sense of, you know, you can tell people walk up and they might, and I'm just saying it just kind of in a really frank way, but they might as well be receiving a potato chip, because that's how their kind of bodily disposition in receiving the Lord is kind of one of the indifference is expressed in how they receive the Lord. So those are just some of the ways, at least especially on the local level in the parish, where you really observe a lack of authentic Eucharistic devotion.
That's well said. My guest today, Monsignor. My guest today, Father Mark Barron. If you want to join us, we'll take your calls, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're taking a look at making reparations for sins against the Eucharist. And it is pretty serious. If you are in a mortal sin and you know it, and you go to receive the Eucharist, I would strongly encourage you to get to confession on that. And we'll also, Father Barron and I, I'll take this call, but we also want to talk a little bit about some of the Eucharistic miracles that took place after some of these sacrileges have occurred. Gary's listening in Wisconsin. He's got a question for you, Father. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, hi, Drew. Hi, Father. How are you doing?
Hey, Gary. Good.
The question I got, I know there's all the abuses with the Holy Eucharist, but my question is, how about communion in the hand? How many people receive it in the hand, and how many consecrated hosts have left the church unconsumed? Now, and if a devil or Satan worshiper wants a consecrated host, he can get in right in line and hold out his hand and get it.
Right.
You know, to me, it's here it is for anyone to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Gary, I was just reading an article the other day about an exorcist who's concerned because of COVID-19 and the masks. A lot of sacrileges are taking place. A lot of stolen hosts are taking place. People either have it in their hand or they'll spit it out in their mask, and they're able to get out of the church without people being aware of this. But, Father, I only have about 2 minutes for you to answer Gary, and we'll take more calls on the other side. But go right ahead. I'll let you respond.
Yeah, I mean, I have two quick things. Number one is, yes, it seems like, obviously, that receiving on the tongue is the way to go. It is the more reverent posture or way to receive the Lord in Holy Communion. At the same time, you know, in the States, we allow communion in the hand. It is what it is, and we got to work with it. So that means two things. One, we have to have ushers there, or the priest or the Eucharistic ministers have to be aware and make sure that people place the Eucharist in their mouth when they receive. That's number one. Number two is, because this is what the church is allowing here in the United States, so God is allowing communion on the hand here in the States, at least, you know, we cannot, you know, ultimately receiving the Eucharist is about your interior disposition. So a person can receive communion in the hand, and if they have a great love and a great desire to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, and their faith is alive in his real presence, and they receive on the hand and place him in the mouth, that is a very valid and meritorious communion, as opposed to someone who right. might come up right. and be scatterbrained and, right. you know, just, you know, and receiving on the tongue. So right. either way, you know, like I said, communion on the tongue seems to be the preferred way. It seems to be the most reverent way. However, right. we can't discount that we, you know, we can receive the Lord in a reverent way on the hand. Right. So,
and during COVID, I can understand why some priests prefer to distribute it that way too. In just terms of, you know, those aerosols and other things yes. may come if you come close to somebody's mouth or tongue. Yep. I take a short pause. When we come back, we'll take a few more calls. Taking a look at making reparation for the sin against the Eucharist. There's a bishop, I'll tell you who that is, who's calling the faithful to make reparation. Got my attention. I thought, well, let's talk about it. I'll be back. Stay with me. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Good afternoon. Great program. Thank you for your contribution to our society with your program.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. It's about 10 minutes before the top of the hour. If you are just tuning in, I saw a story today that I think is an invitation to you and to me to maybe do a little bit more and to during this Lenten season. Really, throughout the year, not just Lent, to atone, to make reparation for so many of these Eucharistic abuses that we're seeing. Bishop Athanasius Schneider, he wrote a piece, and he is launching an international crusade of reparation for Eucharistic abuses. And as we talked about a little while ago, I mean, you've seen everything from Black Mass to people who are in states of sin receiving the Eucharist to, you know, the communion, you know, I'll share something that happened to me, and this is not intentional, but it is a little bit of an abuse. My wife and I were at church, and there was an older man. It wasn't his fault. He received the Eucharist in the hand. That's the way the church is distributing because of COVID. And I noticed something fall from his hand. It wasn't the Eucharist because he put it in his mouth, but it was a piece of the host. So my wife didn't see it. She almost stepped on it as she was walking by, and I stop. I bend down. I pick it up. I realize, wait a minute, this is a piece of host. And then I consume it. So, you know, is there a deliberate and an intentional form of abuse there? No. But you can see what Bishop Schneider is calling us to. You know, there are so many different ways that there can be a disrespect or abuse of the Blessed Sacrament, from the way we treat him in his home to the thievery of the theft of tabernacles to using it for nefarious purposes. Like the Church of Satan, you know, having black masses and things along those lines. So just something to think about. So I invite you to make reparation. You know, quite often, and the Lord, and the reason I love what the bishop had to say here is because I think the Lord has shown us, not just today, not just through the bishop, but across the centuries, how these Eucharistic offenses wound his heart. And he made very visible to us this reality. And the reason I say that, I remember I was in Portugal once, and I prayed before a Eucharistic miracle in a place called Santarém. And I'll give you the thumbnail story of this very quickly. There was a woman whose husband, she thought, had fallen out of love with him. So she could do nothing to kind of win him back, and maybe it was true. So she goes to a witch, a sorceress at the time, and says, I want a love potion. And the sorceress says, okay, I'll do it for you on one condition. Bring me a consecrated host. So she goes to church, she sneaks it out, and she gives it to this sorceress. Well, as she's on her way to the sorceress, actually, the way the story goes, she doesn't quite make it there, the host begins to bleed. She had wrapped it in a handkerchief, and it began to bleed profusely. People thought, oh my gosh, are you okay? What's going on? They thought the lady was wounded. Seeing what was happening, realizing that it was that host in this handkerchief that was now, you know, exuding this type of blood, she runs to her home. She sticks it in a trunk in her room and doesn't tell her husband or anybody about it. She doesn't know what she's going to do. This host is bleeding. She just stole it from the Catholic Church. It's a terrible sacrilege. That night, her husband and her were in the room. And in the middle of the night, he's awoken from his sleep because light emanated from the room. I mean, just emanated from this trunk that she had in the room. He's like, what is it? They opened it up, and the woman's shaken with fear, confessed to her husband what they did. Well, they did adoration the rest of the night. They brought in the local priest. And in a miraculous fashion, this Eucharistic host, which had bled, they found had crystallized. There was a crystal around it. It's there today in Portugal. And it's just one example of many, many Eucharistic miracles that have taken place quite often due to sacrilege. So, the Lord has shown us historically, and I think once again today, I'm just trying to invite you maybe make one small sacrifice for when you unworthily received him, or for those who have those evil and nefarious intentions and will vilify, will desecrate our Lord truly present in the Eucharist. That's such a great, that's a source and summit of our faith. That's a great gift that the Lord has given to us. Father, it's good to have you back. I know you and I, we hunted for Eucharistic miracles when we were together on our particular pilgrimage. Is there anyone that stands out to you? I mean, clearly the Lord has tried to communicate with his people across the centuries. That's a pretty dramatic example, but they still happen today.
Yeah, they do. I mean, one that stands out, I don't have one specific one. I mean, there's the obvious ones, the Santarém one, the obviously the Lanciano one, and then when I couldn't find my Eucharistic miracle book today. I was trying to look through it before I came on the show and I couldn't find it. But I remember reading in there. There's a couple of amazing stories that are similar to the one that you talked about, Drew, insofar as there are a handful of Eucharistic miracles. Like there's about 270. Kind of Eucharistic miracles that have been approved by the church throughout the centuries. And there's a handful of them that deal with this very topic of people doing something to abuse the Eucharist, and the Eucharistic miracle happened out of the abuse. I remember one of the stories was, and again, I'm not going to get all the details, but something like somehow somebody brought the Eucharist back to their house. For some reason, this is kind of crazy sounding, but I remember reading this. For some reason, they put the Eucharist in a pot of boiling water. Wow. And all of a sudden blood started gushing out of the pan onto the floor. I know it's crazy sounding, but that's I remember reading that. And the other one is somebody, again, like a witch or somebody like that, took the Eucharist, got the Eucharist, and started stabbing it. And then again, blood started coming forth from the Sacred Host in that way. And so all this just shows, again, just the treasure that we have in the Eucharist and the treasure that we have as Catholics. And it boggles my mind. It probably does you too, Drew, that just, when you're in adoration and you experience the glory of the Lord in adoration and you're like, oh my gosh, like the reason why I do holy hours is because I need to do holy hours The Lord nourishes me and strengthens me and helps me to kind of maintain that peace for me to work as a priest and to help to be, to bring the love of Christ to others. I get filled up with his love so I can try to do it with others. And so every time I'm before the Eucharist, I'm reminded like, oh my gosh, what a gift we have. And it's like, you would think that when you have adoration, you would have to sell tickets to get for people to get in, to be in the presence of Jesus. But unfortunately there's just this, like, again, like this lukewarmness or this indifference to the Lord that, baffles our mind or baffles my mind. Yeah. But anyway, it's where we're at. But at the same time, I think we can say that even amidst all the indifference and all the sacrileges, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more, and how much, adoration is present in the world. I mean, you could say that Jesus is more present in the world today than he was when he first walked the earth.
Wow. Never thought of it like that.
The Eucharistic presence.
Well, because he's in adoration, he's in the tabernacles of churches throughout the world. I love that.
Yeah, his real presence is yeah, exactly. So he's more present now than when he walked the earth, because when he walked the earth, he was bound by space and time.
That's right.
And so,
Well, Father,
we just have a treasure, so.
I only have a moment or two left. My apologies to Tom and everyone. A lot of people have questions about, hey, how come the tabernacle's not in the center? It's off to the side. Some liturgical questions. But I want to leave on one final thought. For those who are listening, what suggestion can you offer them to make atonement or reparation for the Eucharist? Yeah. How can they deepen their own love of our Lord, who is truly present in the host?
Yeah, I think one of the best ways to make reparation for the Eucharist, for outrages against the Eucharist, is just to go there and be present to him, acknowledge his presence, and acknowledge especially the love that emanates from the Eucharist, and be hungry to receive it, right? Because the reason why God is so offended is because we reject his love. Yeah. And so reparation, and Eucharistic reparation, one big way is just go there and just be open to receive and hungry to receive his love.
I love
and,
it. I love
and it. Soul his heart in that way.
You know, Jesus once lamented to St. Faustina. He says, so many people don't seem to understand the sacrament of the Holy Communion, of his real presence in the Eucharist. He says, look, when I come to a human heart in communion, when I'm there, he says, my hands are full of all kinds of graces that I want to give souls, but souls, they don't pay attention to me. They leave me to myself. They busy themselves with other things. They treat me like I'm a dead object. I never forgot that. So do your reparation. Yep. Go there. The Lord has his hands full of graces for you. Do adoration. Receive him worthily. All right? Father, thank you. We'll be praying for you. You keep up your beautiful ministry, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Father Mark Barron. Stay with me. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be back on the other side. Don't go away.